Welcome to Global Expressions, where we have international students interview international professors and faculties to learn their unique journeys to the U.S. I'm Yan Jiayu from Shanghai, China. My English name is Angel, and I'm a freshman majoring in theater and thinking about taking a double major in economics.
And my name is Minh Hoang. I'm from Vietnam, and I'm studying mechanical engineering with chemistry minors.
Today, we are having Professor Shritha with us. Could you please introduce yourself? Yeah. And yeah.
Absolutely. So I am Anukriti Shrestha. I am a first-year faculty. I'm an assistant professor in chemical engineering. I'm originally from Kathmandu, Nepal, and I've been in the United States now for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's nice.
Welcome. So here's my first question for you. Since one of the topics of our podcast is education, can you talk something about your educational journey here or like in your own country?
Mm-hmm. So I finished high school back in Nepal in 2015, and I went to a school that encouraged people to go abroad for their undergraduate education. And so in 2015, I came to the U.S. to Lexington, Virginia, where I attended Washington and Lee University. And so I did my bachelor's in integrated engineering, and I had a double major in math. And so that was 4 years. So I graduated from Washington and Lee in 2019, and then I immediately after started my graduate studies at the University of Virginia. So I liked Virginia, so I decided to stay there. I started my PhD in chemical engineering, and then I was there for 5 years. So I graduated from UVA last May, and then in July I started here.
How did you came to Lafayette? Like, why did you know the school?
So I it's actually fairly common in Nepal if you want to go to the U.S. We're looking mostly at private liberal arts schools because liberal arts is not big in Nepal. You kind of need to know right out of high school, like, do you want to be a doctor or engineer or lawyer? Mm. You don't really get to explore a lot. So when I was applying to colleges, I kind of looked at liberal arts with engineering because I was interested in engineering, but I wasn't committed to engineering when I finished high school. And so I actually knew about Lafayette even back then because it came up on that list of small liberal arts schools that have engineering. And then while I was in graduate school, I realized I really enjoyed teaching. So I worked with, by the end of my PhD, I'd worked with 4 undergraduate students, mentoring them with research. And so while doing that, I knew that I really enjoyed the interactions that I got to have with undergraduate students. And my own experience at Washington and Lee, small class sizes, getting to know your professors, just kind of that environment, I really enjoyed it. And so when I started figuring out what I wanted to do, I knew I wanted to teach at a small undergrad-only institute, and so that's how Lafayette came back up, because they had an opening in chemical engineering.
Yeah, that's actually the same experience as mine, because like after my high school graduation, I find out I want to go to a liberal arts school, which is small and nice, and then I really love theater, but like, I don't want to like stick to theater my whole life, so I kind of like want to take a double major here, so that's kind of the same. Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I found this Lafayette College. It's like a really good at engineering program. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm studying mechanical engineering here. Mm-hmm. That's why I like it. I have one small question about you. So you said that you have a BS in integrated engineering and mathematics. So what makes you like want to pursue your graduate degree in chemical engineering?
When I was in college, the way engineering worked at Washington and Lee, there was general engineering and there was integrated engineering. And within integrated engineering, you could pick a focus. So it was either, I believe, biology, computer science, geology, or chemistry. And I picked chemistry because I wanted to do, coming out of high school, I was like, oh, I enjoy math, chemistry, physics, and I didn't really understand how I could combine those things. But then I came to college and I found that the integrated engineering major, where I still got to take chemistry classes. So that's how I ended up majoring in that. And then it felt like a natural transition to get my PhD in chemical engineering.
That's nice. What do you think is the biggest difference between chemical engineering in the United States and chemical engineering in your home country?
Mm-hmm. So there is not a lot of chemical engineering in Nepal. I think at this point, maybe there's two universities that offer it as an undergrad major. I think there is a lot of potential for chemical engineering in Nepal that is being figured out. But I think in the United States, chemi has a lot of, exposure in terms of there are a lot of companies that need chemical engineers. So the big oil companies, so Exxon, or pharmaceutical companies, like that's where a lot of chemi graduates go. And we don't really have that big of oil or pharma industries in Nepal, but I think it is up and coming.
That is nice. For myself, I'm studying mechanical engineering because back in Vietnam, mostly everything, not just Vietnam, but in the whole world, everything needs to have like a mechanical that works into it. People are trying to innovate from using manual labor work into automatical machine working. So mechanical engineering is kind of a broad engineering program to study with.
That's pretty true. Nice. Yeah. So as a person in the international community, you must have been through a lot of culture shocks. So when you first came to study here or like work here, so what is the most impressive culture shock you have been through?
So I think I definitely had the general culture shocks of food and how people interact. But my biggest culture shock was when I learned about daylight savings my first year of college, because in our part of the world, we don't have daylight savings. And I remember my first year of college, my roommate was explaining it to me where she was like, oh, the clock goes to 1:59 and then it goes back to 1. And it just blew my mind because I feel like I was prepared for the differences in food and differences in terms of, you know, meeting people, like people from everywhere.
Yeah.
But for me, I thought with time, that was something that I thought was the same around the world, like, you know, 60 seconds to a minute, 60 minutes to an hour, 24 hours in a day. And then someone's trying to explain to me, no, actually, there's 2 days out of the year where we have 25 hours and then 23 hours. And so this has been fresh on my mind because daylight savings was recent in March. So I was like, that was a big one for me.
That's actually so true. It's actually one day during the winter, because I'm also a freshman here. So last winter, I was like, I woke up and I texted my friends in China and they're like, oh, we're like 1 hour left. And I was like, what? So that is also a shock to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for, you know, like how engineering people, they study a lot and then they don't have much time to sleep. And then daylight saving came and then they have 1 hour less to sleep, and that's a little bit annoying, but
yeah,
you gotta get used to it.
I found it very annoying. I think yes, if you see me around when daylight savings starts in March or when it ends in November, you will hear me ranting about it. What do you mean you change the clock?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you also mentioned the foods. So what is the foods difference like for a culture shock?
So in Nepal, we traditionally have rice with all of our meals. Rice is very big. And here I feel like, I mean, when I was in college, it was, I had a meal plan. I went to the dining hall and they didn't necessarily have rice every day. They had it quite frequently, but not every day. And so I was always confused about, okay, but what am I eating the chicken with?
Yeah.
So I think I really miss that sense of, and food back home, it's pretty consistent. So it's rice, lentils, some kind of vegetable, and some kind of meat. But here I feel it changed so much every day. And so that was that was hard to get used to at the beginning.
It's exactly the same as me, because like we also like eat rice as a main food in China. I think it is it the same in Vietnam?
No. Yes, it does. We eat yeah, rice for Asians every day.
And I would like to say I don't like the rice here. It's kind of like they don't cook it well.
Yeah. They have different kinds of rice as well. So the rice that we eat back in Vietnam or China, it tastes a little bit different than the one that we have in here. So
they're so crunchy here. I don't know. Rice should be crunchy.
I think sometimes I saw a lot of people, they fry their rice before they cook it.
So. Oh, no.
Sometimes they like the crunchy of it. So like, they kind of make most of the food crunchy as well, like chocolate and stuff. So crunchy.
I think that's kind of raw, like not cooked.
You have to. Yeah. You have to put it in some form of water.
Yeah.
And I think it was also confusing to me because I would go to the dining hall and there would be pizza and sandwiches and pasta every day. And that for us was food that we ate when we went out. That was a special occasion food. And here it's every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was definitely, it took me a while to get used to that.
Mm.
And so, yeah, once I was a sophomore and I lived in a house that had a kitchen.
That's so true.
I learned how to cook. Like, I did not know how to cook coming into college because it was not something that I was very interested in back home. But then, yes, when the time came, I learned too. Yeah.
There's a joke for, like, Chinese international students. So whenever you went abroad, you will become a good cook.
Yeah. And then being in a small town, we also didn't have any Indian or South Asian restaurants in our town. So if you wanted food, you had to make it yourself.
So true.
It's actually, you know, talking about the food, it's actually go opposite for the American. I was an exchange student last year, and then I was living with the white American family, and they kind of eat like pasta, pizza, or sandwich every day, and then occasionally when they go out, they will eat rice. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the opposite ways that what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Rice is great.
Yeah. I vote for rice.
Absolutely.
As a person with an international background, how did you find a sense of community on campus? And what did that look like?
So my first friends when I came to college were other international students, specifically other international students from South Asia. And then as the semester went on, I found my community still with those students and also attending events that were put up by the International Student Association or the office that supported the international students. So I generally had a lot of friends that were international students or first generation Americans. And so I think, again, just by going to these events, that's how I found the people that I am still friends with to this day.
Yeah. International Association, like in Lafayette, are also really good. I feel really supported from them, especially when we came here, we have our international orientation and they're really, really friendly to us. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it's really helpful to have people that are going through similar experiences because I think coming to a foreign country so far away from what's familiar to you at that age can be really hard to navigate.
Yeah.
But then you find people who are also doing it, and so you can kind of bond over, oh, this is strange. Like, I've never encountered this before.
Yes, it's like South Asia is so far. Like, it's so far.
Like the same experience as you as well. Not talking of, she mentioned the ISA at Lafayette College, but I was an exchange student last year at Michigan, Adrian, Michigan. And the only friends I have, we have like a group of international students that came to the school like a couple of weeks earlier than everybody else, and we got to know each other. Even though they are still international students, I have like four friends from Italy, one from Spain, one from Netherlands, but we still talk and make friends like that. We have they also host like a bunch of like international meeting and stuff, so we get to know each other, and then we get to like have friends, so we don't feel depressed around here.
That's so true. So after all these like serious topics, I want to ask a really quick and interesting question. Like, use your imagination. What will you be if you're not a professor?
I think I would. So, funny story. I started college wanting to be a journalism major. Oh. And I took one journalism class and I was like, oh, never mind. I did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that was on me. That was not on the class. The class is really interesting. But I think if I had kind of stuck to that, I think I went in being like, I really want to be like a traveling journalist. Like, I love exploring new places, like going to new places. I did study abroad while I was in college. And so I think that would have been a really nice alternative career. Yeah.
It's like traveling around the world one of your dreams?
It is
my dream.
Yeah, so I did a semester in London my junior year of college, and one of the best parts about studying abroad in Europe is then you get to explore Europe. Mm. And so that was really fun. And so, yeah, I think in an alternate universe.
How's the difference between like learning in London and the experience in US?
England, so I lived in London, so London was definitely very fast-paced compared to where I was in college in Lexington. I also found the culture in terms of the academics different. I think at Washington and Lee, you get very familiar with your professors. There's not as much of a, there is still a formal relationship, but you can talk to them, ask them for advice about anything. But in London, well, one, the class sizes were bigger, and so we didn't get to know our professors as much. It was more of a, they came to class, they went through the lecture, and then they left. And so that was, yeah. So London was very fast-paced.
Went to like a public school in the United States. They come to, you know, like how the general like class for freshmen, they put like a bunch of freshmen in one class, and my friend went to class with like 300 students, and like they barely have any seat that you can see the board, and he has to sit like in the back, and then he can barely like understand what the professor said. Professor just came in on time, talk with the script, and then just go out. He doesn't even care about his students. So I mean, I found myself like pretty lucky if I got into this school. So like most of my professor knows me, and then she actually take care of all the students as well.
Yes, but there is a sense of checking in and having class sizes as what we have here. And at my undergrad, it really helps to just,
And also like liberal arts school are really different from the university. Mm-hmm. Like you said, here is small and we get a chance to know more about our professors and know more about each other, especially for me, my experience in theater department. Like we basically just have these people with each other and we do shows with each other every show and then with our professors. So we really get really close to our professors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, last but not least, this is going to be the most important one so far. So, if you could give me one piece of advice to any international students in the future, what would it be?
I would say it is okay to feel overwhelmed and scared at the beginning. I think you have done the bravest thing by already taking that step and being here. And so after that, everything's going to be okay. And I know it's overwhelming at first, but learn to put yourself out there because you will meet the people that will make the school or wherever you are feel like home. And it might not be instant, but there are people who will support you. And really just figure out what your normal is, because I think it's easy to get overwhelmed by seeing, you know, what college experiences look like in media or for other people. Like, that is not what your college experience has to be like. Like, you don't have to be, just like going to all the events or participating in certain events that are happening in college. You can figure out what you enjoy doing, and then by doing that, you will find the people that you get along with, and those people will make it feel like home, even though you are very far from home.
That's so sweet.
That's and, awesome.
Yep. Do you have any like academic advice for us also, like as a professor?
Go to class and go to your professor's office hours. Like, we love having you in office hours. That's why we have them. And so, yeah, I think actually as an international student, I didn't understand that office hours wasn't for, oh, I'm really struggling, like, please help me. I think office hours is also just for, oh, like, I didn't understand this one thing in class. Like, it is, oh, like, I am not expecting my students to retain everything I said in class. And so, yes, go to office hours.
Yeah.
Your professors will love having you in office hours.
That's an awesome advice. You know, like, how some of the students, they kind of introverted. Mm-hmm. And then they thought that the professor is going to, like, look at them and be like, they're gonna embarrassing when mm-hmm. saying that I don't understand this topic, and then they keep keeping that for themselves mm-hmm. days after days, and then when they take the exam they cannot do it pretty well. I mean, as you said, just go to the office hours, it's gonna be fine. Nobody judging you. You studying for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And especially at a school like this, I think people who end up being professors at smaller liberal arts schools are people who really enjoy teaching and really enjoy student interaction. So absolutely, like, we are here to help. This is our job. This is what we love doing. So come to office hours. I also have a bucket of candy. So sometimes like, you are welcome to just come in and grab a piece of candy and say
I'll
hi.
Go.
Yeah.
Although I'm not an engineering student.
Absolutely.
I'm going to come by and grab the bucket.
No.
It's a Taylor Swift bucket.
Oh, it's a Taylor Swift bucket. I also saw your, like, your clothes today with Taylor Swift. Are you her fan?
Yes, I'm a big
fan. I also like her songs. Yeah. Her songs are so popular,
They are.
Did you went to the, like, concert last year?
I did. Oh. I went in 2023.
You know? How was it?
It was so good. It was such a great experience.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. And it was one of those things, like, I liked Taylor Swift before I came to the U.S., and mm-hmm. liking Taylor Swift also helped me make friends, because then, you know, we could be from very different parts of the world, but there was this piece of art, piece of music that brought us together. And that's why
exactly.
I also like telling people, I'm like, I like Taylor Swift, like, helps me make friends.
Yeah, everyone like, oh, I love Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all for our episode today. So thank you for Professor Thresna for joining us today. And thanks for all that is listening. Please stay tuned. Join us next time for a new episode of Global Expressions Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.